And our text, our reading, will come from the third chapter of the Malachi, just a few verses of Scripture. Others over in the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah chapter 43 and also 46 goes into more detail. We serve a great and mighty God today. And you know, I think the way that Malachi positioned this, it was before that they went through a 400-year period where there was no prophecy given, where that there were no prophets as such that were prophesying. All of that had been done, and that was staying with them, what Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, right on down the line, what they said. But you know, before that this ended, he left with them this verse of Scripture. In the third chapter, sixth verse of Malachi, "For I am the Lord." Now think about him saying that today. No one else can say that. No one else today can call himself Lord. Now, I know that in some countries they give titles to people because of the connection with royalty and because of all other connections with prestige, and they call him Lord Richard, Lord John, so on and so forth. But nobody can call himself the Lord in capital letters. And I know the man has capitalized it. "For I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And that would be our thought for today. As we stand before you, we serve an unchangeable God. The same yesterday, and today, and forever. He says, "I am the Lord God Almighty. I change not." And when we think about all of his attributes and all that he is, you know, we could spend the entire day just talking about that, just reminiscing about what we understand of it, of meditating upon it. We're so finite. We've only got here to hear. But God has always been. You know, little children will ask the question, "Where did God come from? What is God like?" And you know, it's hard to answer that question. You know, that even the Hebrews, whenever that they would write about God, and even to this day, some of the Orthodox, for some reason, will not put a vowel into the name of God like we do. That's how much they reverence it. They reverence the name of God because he's always been, because he was forevermore. And the Bible tells us that he changes not. He doesn't change. You and I might change. We might change our political thoughts. We might change our religious thoughts. We might change all kinds of things about us. In fact, we are changing at this very moment. In fact, we're starting to show that by giving our date of birth and people asking, and I know this has happened to me, "Do you remember when this happened?" Well, yeah, and I go into an explanation of it. And they said, "Well, that's great. That just coincides with my history book there." But you know, we may change, but God does not change. He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And we'll repeat that several times. But all the way from past eternity. I mean, before the time ever began. Can you imagine? Can you get a hold of the thought that time has not always been? Time started, and this is my opinion, in the Garden of Eden, and even further than that, back whenever that God said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." It's hard to understand what took place in that realm. I don't know what we can call it time. I cannot imagine anything where there is not a marking and a measuring of time. It seems to us it's always been, but to God, it's really nothing. And God has not always, God has always been. From past eternity, He is the same in this realm that we live in now. Now, my realm is from the date that I was born to the day that I may be placed in the silent city of the dead. And you know, I've always hoped that when Christ comes back, Lord, please let me live long enough to see that glory, to see that event, to see the eastern sky break open and Christ come. But nevertheless, we just know this realm from our beginning to the end. And God inhabits that. And you know, he's the same from the point in past eternity to where we are now, and He forevermore shall be. No one can make that claim today. The Bible tells us in one place, it says that even this earth that we're upon says that heaven and earth shall pass away. But then He goes ahead and He says, but My words will not pass away. Why? Because He is eternal. And what He says will never diminish, will never fall by the wayside. Bible tells us also in one place that there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they forevermore have been, are, and shall be. Why? Because they, as the Scripture says in 1 John 5 and 7, and these three are one. Now, I won't get into the triune because that's hard to explain too. But my friend, Jesus Christ has always been. The Bible tells us in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Holy Spirit has always been the same. It hovered over where the God was going to create. You know, the God is not only eternal and everlasting, but He's all-powerful. And you know, whenever that God made everything that we see today, He didn't sit down with a schematic and say, I think I'll put a tree over there. Can somebody help me put a tree over there, a bush over there? I don't like this brick road right here. Let's take that out. No, God spoke things into existence like that. Can you imagine it? And not even speak it. It was a thought within His mind. He said, let there be light, and light was. If you read it in the original Hebrew, it says, light be, and light was. It was the thought of God that put everything into existence the way that we see it today. In the Bible, it tells us in Psalms chapter 109, or the 109th Psalm, it says, in the beginning, O God, You, O God, have laid the foundations of the earth and of the heavens, and the works are of Your hands. And He says, they will perish, but dear God, You remain. And He says, yea, all of them, everything shall wax old, and thou shalt fold them up like a garment. But thou art the same, and thy years. If we can attribute years unto God, thy years will not change. It's hard to measure something that's eternal against something that's in time. I want you to know that His purposes are the same. They never have diminished. The Bible tells us that He was all-knowing. He knew you before that you ever entered into the world. Did you know that? He knew everyone. He knew all those that would be born, that would come into the world. He knew those that would perish. He knew, most importantly of all, that you and I would need a Savior. That the man that He would create, I want you to know what Adam did not catch God off guard. Someone has said, well, you know, God, Adam sinned, and good night, God had to do something about it. No, God already had a plan in mind. And I want you to know, and I want you to realize today, that what Adam did, bringing sin and death by sin into the world, one man that God already knew and God already had in past eternity predestined some way that whomsoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. That includes you and I. You were on his mind whenever that, my friend, he created all things. And when he created Adam, he knew that Adam would sin. He knew that he would bring death and separation from him. But yet God had a plan, and I like to call it and think of it as the pathway to Calvary. The greatest event that ever happened in the events of man, and my friend, in the world, was whenever that Christ went to the cross. And very soon we're going to commemorate that, and we're going to remember that, and not just his death, but also his resurrection. Do you know today they cannot, for the life of them, disprove the resurrection of Christ? Did you know that? They knew something happened. They knew that stone was rolled away. They knew that his body was not in there. But their explanations for it have never reached the conclusion like the disciples who said, "The Lord is risen indeed. Come and see the place where that he lay." Oh my lands, I want to tell you something. I don't know if they've marked it down, gotten it narrowed down as to where or how that he was laid there. But I want you to know, I do know this. Christ is risen indeed. And my friend, God sent him into this Son, the eternal Son of God. He's also all powerful. Do you know you and I today cannot have power unless it's given to us by God? I love the song that Sister Pam sang. You know, I listen and I cringe whenever that I hear someone say, "I've done this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do great and mighty things." But whenever that you think about it, if God wills it, they will do it. And I love what she said, saying about, "I can't even walk without you holding my hand." We can't walk without God. Did you know that today? We kind of take it for granted, and we get up and we say, "Well, I'm gonna jump up, I'm gonna go run a marathon." You will if God allows you to. Or "I'm going to go and I'm going to lift weights," or whatever. You will if God allows you to. Or I'm going to take a trip overseas. You will if God allows you to. You see, sometimes this eternal God is pushed to the side, or at least our thoughts of him, that he has all things under control. He's all powerful. There is no power like the power of God. And someone will say today, "Why doesn't God do something about what's going on in this world?" One day God will speak, and like, is it Schwab or Merrill Lynch? God's going to speak and everybody's going to listen. He'll speak from above. He'll proclaim himself like he did once before. Like he did at Mount Sinai whenever that he shook the mountain. Do you know that mountain that they have identified as Mount Sinai, where God came down and gave the law unto Moses, it's still marked with what they think fire would have done to that mountain. It's still kind of there. Now, I'm just saying what it's been told to me and what I've read. But I want you to know that one day God's going to speak again. And you know what he's going to say? "It's enough. It's enough." And I want you to know, my friend, that when he sends his Son into the world, the eternal Son of God, when he sends him into the world, boy, he's going to straighten out everybody's politics and everybody's land borders. And who has this? And who has that? And who is a ruler here? And who's a king here? And my friend, he's going to straighten out our theology too. That's why we always try to preach nothing else, but that's centered around the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That, my friend, I think we can all agree upon. Like Paul told the Corinthians, I've determined not to know anything among you save Christ Jesus and Him crucified. God is going to do that someday. And we know, my friend, that He's all powerful. And you know, all that He does is good. Now, someone will go into the Bible and say, well, it didn't fare too well for the Egyptians. It didn't fare too well for the Amalekites and all of them. He's also a just God. And their sins had come full. And God cannot fellowship sin. But what He does is good. The Bible tells us over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says, for we know that we all things work together for good to them who love God and are the called according to His purpose. One of the things about God is that He desires that all men would be saved. 1 Timothy in the 2nd chapter, it says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. It's not a matter today that He's going to save just a few. A few will be saved, but He makes the offer of salvation unto all men. That's why that He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And there will come a time, Mark tells us, whenever that this gospel shall be preached in all the world, all will know. All will have an opportunity. This eternal God will send the gospel into all the world. And then cometh the end. And then cometh the end. But this all-knowing God today is the same in how that salvation comes. You know, the people will say today, well, you know, here's a new way to be saved. Or here's this way to be saved. Or here's that way to be saved. And Jesus said that in the last days, don't follow everybody that says, Christ is here, Christ is here, Christ is here. How do I know to follow? Follow the blood-sprinkled path. You ever seen The Wizard of Oz? I can't remember all the characters, but they were going to go to the Emerald City so Dorothy could get back to Kansas. I don't know where in Kansas, but she wanted to get back. But you know what they told her? They said, just follow that yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Now, someone will go and say, someone will ask them, what did Brother Crowfer preach about today? Well, he preached about following the yellow brick road. I'm sure people will come to see if he's going to preach about Star Trek. But I want you to know it's the same way with the gospel. My friend, the shedding of Christ's blood, He stood as a lamb in past eternity. He stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Do you know that the shadow of the cross does not start at Golgotha or Calvary, but it starts up in heaven, where the determinate council, that council that met together, who was in that council? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, we say the Son, but He was called the Word back then, but He was the Son. And they made an agreement that they were going to bring about the redemption and to heal what Adam would do. And do you know what the conclusion was? That Christ would come into the world. The Word would become flesh. John says it over in one place. He said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Son of God, full of grace and full of truth. Only he could meet the qualifications that was needed to redeem. In the meantime, I will give a law unto mankind to find, not that they can be redeemed by it, but it will show them that their need of God goes far beyond the sacrifice of lambs, the sacrifice of goats, the sacrifice of a dove, all of those things. But it has to go, since man brought sin into the world, it will take a man, and not just any man. God didn't send a philosopher. Otherwise, Socrates would be our Savior today, or Plato, or some of those. God didn't send a physician. Otherwise, my friend Albert Schweitzer would be our Savior. God didn't send a politician. Otherwise, Abraham Lincoln would be our Savior. But man was sin sick, and he needed a supernatural act upon his heart and upon his soul to redeem him, to save him today. So what did God do? He sent the very best that heaven had to hold. What's the very best in your family that you hold dear? No doubt a child. And you wouldn't give that child up for anything, would you? And you would not, my friend, think about anybody doing anything to him or harming him in any way. But God gave himself. He gave his son, his only begotten son, who took on flesh, who felt pain. Just like you and I, he knew what it was to be lonely. He knew what it was, my friend, to be tired. He knew what it was to walk long distances because, my friend, he didn't take a moped when he went from Nazareth down to Jerusalem. He didn't do any of those things. He walked. And as he walked, I believe that he affected people that he met along the way. Aren't you glad he walked? Because he walked down here and he affected us. My friend, his gospel came and touched the heart and made the need of the heart to be revealed and open and showed that he was the only one that could give peace. Do you know today, I feel sorry for them. And I hope that they can have some semblance of peace. But, and don't take this for me as being the absolute truth. But my friend, when they sat down at conferences, man, I saw that whenever that they sat down with some of the countries to try to make peace, and they couldn't. There was always some sort of hitch to it. And my friend, there's some sort of hitch going on right now in the land of Israel. My friend, there's still no peace. They talk about peace, but there's still no peace. But I want you to know the peace that God gives through Christ Jesus is an everlasting, eternal peace that we have in our heart towards God. It's peace with God. It's the enmity that's been broken down. It's the veil that has been opened up. And we can come unto God. Do you know you can come unto God without a priest, without a sacrament, without being good, without any of those things? But I want you to know that there is a high priest you go through. His son Jesus, he's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek forever. My friend, he forevermore shall be. You can come unto God into his presence and there make known your thoughts, your heart. My friend, you might say today, how do you know that this is true? What it says about a high priest being after the order of Melchizedek. Now, it wasn't necessarily Melchizedek after the order of Melchizedek. He speaks of Christ. Because, brethren, sisters, I met the high priest. One day, whenever that I was lost, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to be saved. I knew I had this burden and I wanted rid of it. And I did everything that I could do, that I thought I could do. And I want you to realize today, It wasn't until I surrendered it over to Him and said, Father, if you send me to hell, I will deserve it. But if there's mercy with you, if there's grace with you, if there's love with you, please take this awful burden off of me. And He did. But my friend, He did something. He introduced me under the high priest. That's why I preach about Him so much, because I met Him. Now, I want you to know today, my friend, He has the power to forgive sin today. And He can take it away. He can take away the reproach whenever that it is sought with all of His heart. God does not change. And as we said, He was delivered by the determining counsel and foreknowledge of God. My friend, Christ coming into the world wasn't an accident. Mary didn't make it up, my friend, so she wouldn't be ostracized for bearing the child that was conceived by the Holy Spirit. My friend, Jesus didn't decide one day, well, you know what? I know the law, I know the prophets. I can argue with the best of them in the temple. So I'm going to be the Son of God. No, He knew who He was from the beginning. He knew what He was sent for. He saw the crucifixions. He saw the sacrifices. And He knew one day, according to the eternal plan of a never-ending, never-changing God, He knew, according to that, that He would pay the price and that no one else could do it. But not only pay the price, but He would forevermore crush the head of the serpent as God had prophesied back in the Garden of Eden. My friend, I want you to know today that it was love. And it was based upon love, not duty, but upon love. His love and His plan for us today does not change. Does not change. Oh, you might get in trouble, but that doesn't mean God doesn't love you. You might, my friend, experience some things and feel like you're separated from God, and maybe you'll have to repent of it. But oh, thankful today for the conscience that God gives us whenever that He saves us, that we have an advocate with the Father. That's what 1 John says in one place. We have an advocate. If we do sin, we don't lose it. But we have an advocate. If it wasn't meant for us to have this eternally, He wouldn't have written what He wrote. He said, we have an advocate. You know what an advocate is? I speed a little bit. And I have to have an advocate for me because I can't speak lawyerese. But He goes in. And He pleads with the court and with the judge. And He said, there's no doubt that this character, Kofer, was going too fast. No doubt. But, is there a way that it could be commuted or whatever? Now, as far as driving is concerned, I still paid a fine. Wasn't quite as much as I was expecting, but He paid a fine. God's advocate, Christ Jesus, stands beside of us. He does. He doesn't give excuse for us of our sin that we have done wrong, but I want you to know what He does. Father, remember whenever that I went to the cross and I died for the sins of the world? I died not only for the Adamic sin. I died not only for the sins that they would have passed upon them from birth to the end of their life. But I stand by them in everything that they do. Because let me tell you something today. If the blood of Christ does not atone for our sin, then it's ineffectual. But thanks be unto God, the blood of Christ atones for us. He covers us. My friend, He is an advocate. He pleads our case. And do you know why God forgives us? Son, I forgive them. for your sake, that you will not have died in vain. You know, one day I ran across that. And it says that we're to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Boy, that hit me. That hit me. And I thought, Lord, you don't forgive me because I'm going to promise to do better, or I'm going to do this for you, or I'm going to go over in Africa as a doctor and discover a great discovery and heal many and win the Nobel Prize. No. He forgives me that His Son will not have died in vain. He forgives us for Jesus' sake, and not for ourselves today. I want you to know that His very nature, the nature of God, does not change. He knows all. He knew all things from the beginning. He knew those things which could be, those things which could have happened. He knows what the result would have been. But that's why He sent Christ into the world. And I want you to know that His everlasting covenant is still unto us. Do you know that the Bible tells us over in one place? It says that I will make a new covenant with them. A new covenant whereby that their sins can be forgiven. This is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel. And not only to the house of Israel. That's also referring to something that will happen later. We're not going to get into anything here. They'll come to God, the Bible says. But they shall, after these days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts. That's you and me. What is it? It's the effect of the gospel on our heart. He says, I will be their God and they'll be my people. And listen, He says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me from the least unto the greatest of them. And I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. When Christ saves you, what does He do with your sin? And I want you to know that He doesn't look back and grab it and say, you remember whenever you did this? I'm going to get you. No, He forgets all of it. And His presence with us will not change. I want you to know He's with us today. God's with us today. Did you know that? And His Son is with us today. And the Holy Spirit is with us today. That will not change. It will always be. When He saves, He said, I give unto them eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of my hand, for I and my Father are one. If you could separate the Son of God from the Father, you might have a case there. But I want you to know that you're in the hands of Christ who redeems you. And then you are in the hands of the Father. You've got a double covering there. And I want you to know not even Satan can break that if you are in Christ Jesus today. He said in the future, and He's with you in the future. Now, His thoughts towards you and His love for you will never, never, ever change. Whenever that you feel like somebody has deserted you or hurt you or whatever the case might be. Paul, whenever that he was in prison, I can almost envision that he rejoiced so much about it. And with God in him, he would preach wherever he was at. The jailer, the guards, everybody heard about it. And my friend, he knew the love of God. He knew that God hadn't changed in His love towards him. Jeremiah 29:11 says in one place, it says, for I know the thoughts and I know the plans that I have for you, that I think towards you. And He said, thoughts of peace, thoughts of hope, thoughts of grace, thoughts of mercy, thoughts of love. That's what he thinks towards you today. Can you get that? Kids used to say, can you dig it? But I'm not going to get too modern there. But I want you to know, can you grasp that? Can you feel that? He loves you. Whether, my friend, you're in the right or in the wrong, my friend, don't do like I do, arguing with the state troopers about. But I want you to know, God still loved me. God didn't say to me, well, I'm through with you, Kofor. You got a ticket. No. He still loved me. He still loved me. And he loves you today. And he loves, my friend, everything about you. He gave his son for you. But my friend, the blessings of that come through his redemption. Now, he loves the sinner too. Yeah. He loves those that are in sin. Those that, my friend, don't even think about him. Maybe even take his name in vain. But my friend, he loves them too. And he gives an expected end, something that he has out there for you. God never changes. Don't ever think that God's going to change in his love towards you. You can't do anything to break it. Did you know that? I used to make my father so mad that, well, I can even feel it to this day sometimes, whenever. But I want you to know, Dad would come to me and he'd put his arms around me. Now, I didn't think too much of him at that time, but he'd put his arms around me. And he would say, son, I love you. I still love you. And even whenever that we're chastised, even whenever that we have that happen to us, brother, he still loves us. He still cares about us. Your concerns, your thoughts, everything today are a concern unto him. He never changes in his thoughts towards mankind. Do you know what God's will is today over in Peter? People will say, I wish I knew what the will of God is. I wish I knew God's will. Well, God's will is that none should perish. That's his desire. And that all should come unto repentance. So today, my friend, you are loved by an all-loving God who never changes in his feelings towards you. And I've not even touched the tip, below the tip of the iceberg. How deep is the Father's love? It can't be measured. How deep is the Father's love? Do you know that it's the same for every individual? It's so deep. There's a black song that says, oh, it's so deep that you can't get under it. So wide that you can't get around it. It's so high that you can't get over it. How do you come? You come through the door. You come through the door. God bless you is my prayer. We might have a song. I hope and pray today that you'll go away with something that will make you realize and make you know today that God loves you even beyond measure, even beyond description. And if you want to see it, if you want to see the action of it, just look at the cross that spanned all the way from past eternity. And that cross shadow is still with us. I'm looking forward to Good Friday. Whenever that we hold the crosses before people, I want to tell you one of the things that got me, and I just about hit my knees, was one point I was holding the cross, and the sun came out, and the shadow of that cross came up. And I thought, oh Lord, you did love me. You did love the world so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die for me.